As children, we're not afraid to ask for help. Whether it's riding a new bike or reading a challenging book, children have no problem admitting their shortcomings. But as we step into the teen years, pride gets in the way. We're embarrassed to concede our need for help, and we long to be independent. The stakes get higher the older we become. And yet all of us need a supportive community to help us grow and thrive. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a message called Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable. And we begin with prayer.
We're really impressed today, our Father, with only one among us, and that is Jesus Christ. We admire his coming and the way he lived and the way he died. And we are forever grateful for the price he paid. In fact, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin left on us a crimson stain, and he has washed it white as snow. Like the snow we saw this week that's passed, that covered the ground with beautiful white. You have covered our lives with the purity of Christ because of what he has done for us. And though we don't deserve it by grace, we accept it, and we are grateful for it. Teach us today, Lord, the value of simply being real, of living a life marked by openness and unguarded vulnerability. It doesn't come naturally. We weren't reared this way. We have few models of it. But may we remember, Lord, that our models are these people found in the Scriptures and those individuals whose lives have been changed deep within through the same power, the power of Christ. We pray in his great name and for his sake. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable.
If I had the power to change anything within the ranks of fellow Christians, it would be this. I would ask the Lord to make all of us real people, if you will, to bring the kid out in us again. Let the truth out. So that when we're afraid, we say, I'm afraid right now. Or when we can't keep up, we acknowledge, I'm not getting this. I'm not tracking this. Or if we're in school, we say to the teacher, I'm not following where we're going. Older we get, the less we say. And speaking of teachers, how refreshing is it to meet a professor that has all of those degrees, and we all admire that, but that professor can still use those wonderful words, I don't know. It's part of being authentic. You don't hear that word very much. You rarely hear it even in churches. What is authenticity? What does it mean to be authentic? It means we're unafraid of exposure. It means being willing to acknowledge reality, the ability to be open, unguarded, unhesitant to disclose the truth about ourselves. Now, what is it not? What is authenticity not? Get this straight. This is helpful. I'm not referring to indiscriminate confession of things only the Lord can forgive. I'm not referring to that. I'm not talking about your unrolling all the scandalous actions of your life, your private failures that brought shame to Christ. That doesn't help others to know all of that. Understand what authenticity is and isn't. And if you need a good model, make a study of 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5, and 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 7. It'll help. Remember who's writing. The Apostle Paul. A brighter mind, aside from Jesus, never lived in theological truth than the Apostle Paul. His pen, think of the letters, Romans, the Corinthian letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Timothy, Titus. Wonderful letters that to this day we cannot exhaust. But they didn't come from the pen of a perfect man. Why, he had a prison record. He had scars that represented real humanity. He was the man who earlier had persecuted Christians. Some of those things that most people would never have admitted, he writes in his letters. So, from the city of Ephesus, sometime after having been at Corinth, he thinks about his ministry there and he decides to write his friends at Corinth and call to their memory some of the things that were true. I think Eugene Peterson captures the meaning. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? He's describing the Corinthians from chapter 1. Paul said, that's how I came to you. This is who I was. Talk about the presence of vulnerability. Here's a man who says it like it is. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you of God's secret plan. Why would he say that? The people of Corinth. They loved the theater arts. They loved drama. Their Greek stage was full of great actors who could come and sway an audience with their oratorical skills. They loved public debate. These are Corinthians, sophisticated to the core. He said, I realized when I came, I couldn't compete with your professionals. When I came to minister to you, look at it. I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. Now, this is how I did it. I was focused on Jesus Christ, not on what you would think of me, not leaving a great impression of the preacher. I came, look at it, verse 3, I came in weakness, with timidity and trembling. I ask you, do you think of those words when you think of the Apostle Paul? Probably not. A man with his academic record, studied under Gamaliel, Pharisee of the Pharisees, knew those Old Testament scriptures with pinpoint accuracy, the ability to stand in the street and preach of Christ, courageously. You don't think of weakness and timidity and trembling. We should. He says it. My message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Before I came to teach, I would place myself before the Lord and say, Lord, I need your wisdom here. I need your guidance. Give me the right words and the right time. Help me to deliver this in a way that is accurate and clear and practical so everybody will understand it. That's not the prayer of a proud man. Now, why did he do this? Look at the fifth verse. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. This is vulnerability before others, if I've ever read it. Don't miss how he approaches the subject. He writes about what in verses 1, 3, and 4. That's what he did. He writes about how in verse 2. I decided I would forget everything except Jesus Christ. And when he stood before them, his focus was on Christ. It wasn't on himself. When you see a preacher whose focus is on himself, you spot it immediately. You can't hide it. Paul said, I came and I wanted to do one thing. I wanted to portray Christ. I wanted to point you to him. I wanted you to fall in love with him. Be impressed with what he has done. Remember where he died and why. And he says this to the Corinthians, and he disarms them. I remember years ago when I was first learning how to share Christ to fellow adults. I was at Dallas Seminary as a student. We had a fellow student in the class just under me, and he was with Crusade. His name was Jimmy Williams. Jimmy, longtime friend. I'd known him even before those days, and now I'm at seminary with him. And Jimmy was going to go to University of Texas to witness, and I said to him, you know, I'd love to do that. He said, come on, let's do it together. I said, man, that's great. So we took off. I'm a novice, and he's experienced. And so we're driving from Dallas to Austin, and on the way he says, Chuck, I need to tell you something about what we're going to encounter when we get to the men's dorm. They just plastered their walls with naked women. I mean, you'll see big posters, just naked women. He said, when you walk in, look right at the students. Don't look at the walls. Look at the students. The reason is they're watching you. If you're in there to look around on the walls, they know you don't have your mind on what you're telling them. Focus on them. Focus on Christ. Boy, it's great, great counsel. What Jimmy had forgotten is I'd just come out of the Marine Corps, as if I'd never seen anything like that. But you forget when you're away from it and you're now at seminary where there isn't any such thing. Walls are plastered with verses of Scripture and great reminders of the greatness of God. But when you're in a secular situation, you're going to see it in the raw. Focus on Christ. I mean, the prostitutes ran free in the streets of Corinth. They serviced those who came to worship in their temples. Prostitution was a way of life. Paul says, when I came, I decided I would talk about Christ and him only. I tell you about what he has done and why knowing him is the greatest decision you can make. Why did he do this? Look at verse 5. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Think about it. How much more vulnerable could he get? I made a list of a few things. His utter simplicity was disarming. His lack of sophistication, amazing. With his education, how sophisticated he could have been. I have a feeling Paul never once referred to his education. Who cares how many degrees are after your name? His admission of fear and trembling was shocking. His refusal to rely on clever tricks. His persuasive, manipulative words were absent. Very surprising, because he was surrounded by those who would take advantage of others. Paul said, that's not my style. So let me say to you who are on your way, preparing for ministry, and I know I speak to a select group here, not to all of you, but to some, and to speak to you who teach classes, And you who are in ministry of some kind or other, where it involves your being up front and communicating, keep it simple. Stay on mission. Focus on Christ. Get out of the way. Step aside. Make sure they're impressed with the Savior, not the one talking about the Savior. I love the story of the former alcoholic whose heart was captured by Christ. He'd been running with his drinking buddies for years, and then one day they learn of his conversion. And while with a group of them on one occasion, they decided it was time to sneer at his faith, and they said, "Give me a break. You're telling me that you believe that thing called the Bible? I mean, you believe those so-called miracles that Jesus performed? I mean, you think he turned water into wine?" He answered rather simply, "You know, I don't know whether he turned water into wine or not, but I know this. I've seen in my own home how he turned booze into furniture." That's pretty good evidence. Pretty simple answer. And he said, I tell you, my life's been changed. I got to tell you, I've been transformed. Now, I don't have all the answers about all these great truths, so if you're waiting for that, I can't give them to you, but I'll tell you this. You come to know Jesus, he'll change your habits. He'll change the way you think. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change your motives. He'll change your actions. You may be brutal. He can make you gentle. You may be somebody who loves to argue. He'll make you easier to be around. He can change your life. That's what this is about. The apostle came before the Corinthians just as who he was. What great advice for all of us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about vulnerability before others. Now he talks about vulnerability within himself, within ourselves. You appreciated the first letter. You'll love what he writes in the second. This, by the way, is the most autobiographical of all Paul's writings. You want to get to know the apostle? Read 2 Corinthians. This one, he talks more about his own life than in any other. There are snitches here and there, little sections of verses, but here he's got chapters on it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. "Since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up." So he's writing to the same group of people to whom he's ministered for quite some time, over a year and a half. And he said, "Let me tell you about my ministry." Verse 2, "All of you who teach, listen to these words. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this." Listen to the message as Eugene Peterson renders this passage. "Since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. We keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display." That's vulnerability. "So that those who want to can see and judge for themselves. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you." I love that passage. I love that whole concept. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Let me tell you, when you get in trouble as a teacher, it's when you start to fake it. You get in trouble in life doing that, but especially when you're standing before others and you want this to say what you want it to say rather than what it says, so that you help them feel good. I want you to know something. I will never do that to you. Honestly, I don't mean this to be ugly. I don't care how you feel about what you hear. I care that I'm telling you the truth, that you understand God means business. And when he says, walk in this way, if you choose not to, there's consequences. Dominic Mann sent me a great quotation just this past week. I wish I'd memorized it to the letter, but it said something like this. These are the words of a man named Benjamin Martin. When I came to realize what large consequences come from little things, I realized there are no little things. Little off-the-cuff remarks that I may drop that are not true or manipulative, I'll give an account for. Anytime I'm involved in self-serving, I'm exploiting you. I have no right to do that. You're not my people. I'll never call you my people. Pastors tend to do that. You're God's people. You're the sheep in his pasture. You don't answer to me. You answer to him. And therefore, I have the joy, the privilege, the responsibility of talking truth. Look at verse 5. I appreciate this. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Here it is again. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are your servants for Jesus' sake. Well, what about the messenger? Verse 7. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves, look at this, are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Isn't that beautiful? We're not fine pieces of china. We're just like peanut butter jars. We're just like clay jars, cracked, chipped. Every once in a while we leak. We're just fragile clay jars containing great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. No pretense, no showmanship, no manipulation, no narcissism. You won't find out later that what was said was not being lived out. You certainly would not find that from the apostle. How could he turn out like this? How could a man this humanly, this great, become this gracious? Well, the answer is in verses 8 through 10. Suffering. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed. The word means confused, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed through suffering. Our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. Why? So the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Let me tell you what it takes to be vulnerable. Security and humility. It takes both. Neither come naturally to us. If you were reared by secure and humble parents, you are thrice blessed. And you are rare, because you witnessed with your own eyes growing up what it meant to be secure and humble. And it just fell naturally to you to follow in that. But I'm telling you, most are not reared like that. You see, in spite of circumstances, the man understood what it meant to walk with God.
This is Insight for Living, and the title of Chuck Swindoll's message today is Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable. To learn more about this nonprofit ministry, go to insightworld.org. In an age when everyone's life is on display through public places like Facebook and Instagram, we're tempted to present our best self and hide our flaws. But sometimes these social media sites do little more than fuel our desire to measure up to an impossible standard. It's our prayer that today's message will motivate you to surrender the pursuit of perfection and reach out for the help you need. With this in mind, I'd like to recommend a practical resource for you. When you go online, you'll see that we're featuring a popular book from Chuck called Quest for Character, Inspirational Thoughts on Becoming More Like Christ. All the details for purchasing a copy can be found at insight.org/offer. Pulling off our masks and living with authenticity has been one of the predominant themes in Chuck's ministry. But as he said a moment ago, admitting our imperfections doesn't come naturally for us. It takes intentional effort to cultivate humility. Well, we hope this book called Quest for Character and these daily messages will help you find your true identity in the one who created you. It's possible you've been following Chuck's teaching for many years. In the early days, perhaps your budget was tight because of the demands of raising a young family. Well, during that season, it was the generous giving of others that made it possible for you to hear Chuck's teaching. And today, you're likely in a stronger position. So let me encourage you to step forward and become one of our monthly companions. By giving a monthly donation, you can do for someone else what others did for you in the early days. To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. You can also sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us again tomorrow when we'll continue Chuck Swindoll's message about resisting personal perfection, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Acting Perfect and Start Being Vulnerable, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.